we're family. We all come from different backgrounds, different, you know, we all have a past, don't we? All of us do. But the one thing that makes it all common is we're under one blood, the Bible says, and it's through Jesus Christ. And we're all connected here. Amen. And the scripture talks about if one member suffer, all the members suffer. If one member is blessed, we're all blessed because we're one body. Amen. Praise God. Let's go over in our Bibles today to 1 Thessalonians, once again, chapter 5. And we've been on this for 7 or 8 weeks, I believe. And we're talking about living from the inside out. And are you ready this morning?
Amen.
Did you come hungry this morning? Praise God. They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Praise God. And I'll tell you what, let me just nail it right in the head right now. God's going to turn your disappointment into rejoicing this week. Okay? Whatever you've been disappointed about or discouraged, that's another way of saying discouraged. God's going to turn it around this week. And the process is going to start today. Amen? I prophesy that today over everybody here. Amen? But notice we've used this scripture as our main scripture here in this particular lesson here, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we're talking about this particular subject. Now, we've entitled it Living from the Inside Out because that's where you're, when you're born again and you make Jesus your Lord, you're changed from the inside out, not from the outside in, okay? And we see from the scripture again that this is exactly what man is. He's a spirit, he has a soul, and number three, he lives in a physical body, okay? So with your body, you contact the physical realm. That's how we contact each other. With your spirit, you contact the spiritual realm. That's where God lives, amen? But then with your soul, that is your mind and your will and your emotions. As a matter of fact, you know, David said it like this. I think it's the 103rd Psalm where he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, who was talking to who? His spirit was telling his mind, "Soul, you're going to bless the Lord today." Amen. Amen. I remember when I first went into a church like this many, many years ago. This is back in 1979, actually, to be exact. And I was in an AG church, a Full Gospel Assembly of God church that my sister dragged me to, you know. And I had never, ever been in a church like that. Okay, I was raised United Methodist, you know, and the Church of the Frozen, Chosen. You know, that was my background, you know. But I'm telling you, I was in this church. It was a large church at the time. And back in those days, there wasn't a whole lot of full gospel churches around. There just wasn't. And but I was in shock in a way because I saw people lifting their hands in the church, in the worship. I thought, I never saw that in my entire life. What is this all about? And I saw joy on people's faces. And within myself, I said, I'll never do that. I'll never lift my hands. You know, you can have an inward conversation sometimes. Now, I wasn't raised like that. Okay, I was raised in a United Methodist church. You know, everything was prim and proper. And, you know, that's just the way it was. That's all I knew. So here I am in a new atmosphere. My sister took me there. And even though my mind was like, I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on here. But yet, I was being blessed in my spirit. Even though my head didn't understand it, my spirit was like, this is good. Amen? But within myself, I was saying, had an inward conversation. I said, I'm never going to lift my hands, you know. But then the pastor who had been from, he's in heaven now. He was from England, from Wales, over in that part of the country. And he had an English accent and so forth. And he got up and he started sharing scriptures from the Bible that talked about worship, and I thought, that's really in there? And he read scriptures about praising with your mouth, and he had scriptures about lifting your hands to the Lord. And he read several scriptures, and I thought, is that why they do this? I thought they were just making this up and just, you know, out of their own minds, making this up, lifting their hands, singing to the Lord, that kind of thing. And then I realized this, what they were doing was biblical. It was actually biblical what they were doing. So that kind of sealed some things in my mind that made me realize, well, maybe this isn't so bad after all. You know, because sometimes your past tradition can really hold you back from moving into the future. And just because you haven't experienced something previously doesn't mean there's not new territory for you to walk in. And let me tell you something, there's always new territory for us to walk in. Amen? And I remember, did our screen go? Okay. Praise the Lord. Do you need to do something with that? Okay. We're having light bulb problems with that thing, so, all right. So, after a couple of weeks of going to the church service and so forth, I began to realize, you know, maybe I'll try this. Now, I had this thought. This is the first time I remember. I was 19 years old, and I'll never forget. I was a senior in high school, and during the worship service, I thought, I'll just go ahead and just lift up one hand because I felt God's presence moving, you know. But I was so self-conscious that I thought, if I lift my hand, everybody in this room, there's about 900 people, they're going to turn around and look at me. That's just the way I was thinking. And to my utter astonishment, nobody did. I lifted my hands. I'm looking around. The Bible says watch and pray, right? So I'm looking around, you know. And then I realized they're not looking at me. They're just entering in. And all of a sudden, I shot my other hand up, and man, I've never been the same since. It was like there was a freedom to worship the God that made me. Amen. And I wasn't ashamed to worship Him. I mean, we should never be ashamed to lift our hands and to sing to the Lord. You know, and if you've never done that, I encourage you to step into that. Step into that. It will change your life. It will transform your life. It'll bring a new freedom and a new liberty to you that you've never known before. But you know, David said this, Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now that's his spirit talking to his mind. He said, soul, you're going to bless the Lord. Because sometimes you don't feel like it. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. But Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness. Boy, that's a lot to be excited about. Amen. So sometimes you got to let your, more often than not, you have to tell, your spirit has to tell your soul, no, okay, soul, we're going to bless the Lord today, whether you feel like it or not. Amen. Everybody came to church today, whether you felt like it or not. Maybe you felt like staying at home and fellowshipping with Brother Pillow and Sister Sheets. Amen. We're going to look at this today. We're going to talk about we've been talking about the spirit, then we talked about the soul. And today we're going to talk about how to put your body into subjection to your spirit. That's a good one. Amen. Now, all three areas need nourished. Your spiritual life needs nourished with the Word of God. Your soul needs nourished with good teaching and so forth. Amen. And then, of course, your body needs nourished with good food. All right. Praise God. And so let's go over to Matthew for a minute here. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at this actually in the Amplified translation. Amen. The Loud translation. And this is let me just set the stage here, because Jesus right now this is right before he is ready to go to the cross and become the sacrifice for the entire human race. I mean, he's already 3.5 years of his ministry is almost fulfilled here. Jesus was 33.5 years old when his life was cut off. But he didn't start his actual public ministry until he was baptized by by John the Baptist in the Jordan River at 30 years of age. Now think about it. Jesus spent 30 years of preparation for a 3.5 year ministry. What if you went to a college or something and said, well, it's going to be 30 years long before you have your... But see, we should never discount life experience. Because no matter where you're at, where you're working, you know, I've had several secular type of jobs until the Lord completely separated me to do just this, you know. And I'll tell you what, I always took on, I'm going to have a good attitude with this. And I mean, I was in some rough places. I was with some really rough people working in the world. You know what I'm saying? But I learned so much about just where people are coming from, to hear their, just kind of be an observer and listen to them, and working with children and kids and youth and that kind of thing. And that was all preparation to help me even do what I'm doing now. So, you know, preparation for ministry isn't necessarily going to Bible school for 4 years. But everyday life experience, you're learning, you're growing every single day. And it will prepare you for the future. Now, Matthew 26, we see Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. All right. Let's pick up in verse 36. This is the Amplified translation. Okay. It says, "Then Jesus came to the place called Gethsemane, olive press." That's where the olive trees were. And by the way, they're still there today. There's trees in that garden right now, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that are over 2,000 years old. They're still there. You should see the base of that tree, how wide it is. But they've dated it back before Jesus. Jesus, those trees, if they had a voice, they could hear Jesus back then in that garden right there. And the Scripture talks about how that Jesus, when Judas knew where he was, because the Bible says that he would often resort to that place, the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus went there often. So Judas knew where to find him with the authorities. And what was he doing there? He was in a garden. That's where he spent time with prayer. Okay? We'll see this today. But notice it said the place called Gethsemane, the olive press, and he told his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, he began to be grieved and greatly distressed. And he said unto them, "My soul is deeply grieved. I am almost dying with sorrow. Stay here awake and keep watch with me." Amen. And after going a little further, he fell down and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, that is consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not stay awake and keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep actively watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh," or the body, "is weak." Now notice this, he said, "Your spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Can you see the separation there, the spirit and the body? Okay. And so verse 42 says, "He went a second time and he prayed, saying, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink of it, your will be done.' Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy." I'm sure we've all been there. Verse 44, "So leaving them again, he went again and he prayed for the third time, saying the same words once more. And then he returned to his disciples and said unto them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Listen, the hour of my sacrifice is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed by the hands of sinners, whose way and nature is to oppose God. Get up, let us go. Look, he said, my betrayer is near." Now, I wanted to read out of the Amplified because it's just more clear what's going on here. But here's what Jesus prayed, what we call the prayer of dedication and consecration. Okay? And he's praying that, "Lord, if there's any other way," and that's the way of salvation, "if there's any other way," because I mean, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. That was the kind of pressure that Jesus Christ was under. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been under pressure before, but I never wiped my brow and there came blood. But it happened to Jesus because of the intensity of the pressure that he was under. See, Jesus knew what was going to happen when he died. He was going to go to hell for 3 days and three nights and become the sacrifice. Amen? And not only did Jesus suffer on the cross, he suffered in hell. Because if he didn't, then you and I would have to go there. Jesus had to go to hell. And he did. Because if he didn't, then we would have went. So he knew what was awaiting. He knew the sin. He was going to become the, 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 the sacrifice, that the only sacrifice that could take away sins. And Jesus says, "Oh Lord, if there's any other possible way, please." And the Lord just said, "Nope, this is it. This is it." Now, here Jesus brings his closest followers with him, Peter, James, and John. You know, you got the 12, but then you had the three. And those were, Peter, James, and John were the closest to Jesus. But then you had one that was extremely close to Jesus, and that was John the Apostle. Okay, he's the only one that outlived all the apostles and died a natural death of old age. Amen? And he was called the Apostle of Love. He had a revelation of God's love more than any of the apostles. Amen? That's why he often referred to himself as the apostle whom Jesus loved. Now, did Jesus love all the apostles? Of course he did. But see, John had a personal revelation. He loves me. I'm his favorite. I just know it. I praise God. And we should all have that attitude, that mindset. But I want to talk about today about dealing with the flesh. We've talked about the spirit. We've talked about the soul, the mind. We spent a couple of weeks on that. But let's talk about the physical body, because the Thessalonians says spirit, soul, and body. Now that's the order that we're supposed to operate in, where our spirit controls our soul and our soul controls our body. It's that domino effect. Not the tail wagging the dog, as they say, but you don't want your body leading you around. Now all of us, before we were saved, we were dominated by the flesh and the carnal nature. All of us here in this room. Okay, isn't that true? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Where our bodies and ruled us, our minds ruled us, and our spirit, we didn't even know we were a spirit. We're just walking around, you know. Whatever we felt like doing, we did. Like you say, if it feels good, do it. Well, that can be dangerous sometimes, amen? Because sin can feel good, but it'll kill you. How many of you know that? The Bible says sin has pleasure for a season, but afterwards brings destruction. Are you with me now? Now, here you got Jesus has already spent 3.5 hours with, or 3.5 years, I'm sorry. We'll get it right here. He's already spent an intimate 3.5 years with his disciples and training them, teaching them. Jesus spent time with those disciples. I mean, he ate with them, you know. They camped out together. I mean, they did everything together, and he was training them and teaching them and instructing him. And here we are down at the end of the wire. And Jesus knows what's going to happen when Judas betrayed at the Last Supper. And Jesus already knew what was going to take place. That was hard. And it's kind of interesting, because even in his darkest hour, when he knew that Judas was going to betray him, he still washed his feet. Yes. Now you talk. When he did what they call the Last Supper there, they took communion, you know, like the Passover, because Jesus was becoming the Passover. He was becoming the sacrificial lamb. And then Jesus, the Bible says that he washed their feet to show them an example how they're to love one another. And folks, that's the way it's supposed to be. The way you serve one another and you love one another. And that seems like such a menial, dirty task, but that's how the attitude that we're supposed to have towards one another. Amen. Oh, fervent love, the Bible says, towards one another. Praise God. You see, it doesn't matter in a church what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what country you're from. Jesus died for the world. Amen? Amen. And God is colorblind. Are you with me? A healthy church is you having people from every single background, every single creed, every single color. Oh God, bring us a church like that. Amen. Of every race, every color. Because that's what heaven is like. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so here they are in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows what's going to take place. And Jesus is agonizing in prayer. I mean, this is not like, thank you, Lord, bless me today. I mean, he knows what's going to take place. So he asked his disciples, not a big deal, supposedly, but this must have been pretty late in the night, because every one of them were tired, okay? Now, your body can get tired, right? Jesus asked them three times. He came back and he says, can you watch and pray with me for 1 hour? Just 1 hour. This is a picture of the church at large today being asleep when God wants to do something through prayer. It's because your flesh don't want to pray. How many of you know that? Your flesh does not want to pray. My flesh doesn't want to pray sometimes, but you can train your flesh to do it. Actually, you can train it to the place where your flesh wants to do it. But it's that initial start. It's kind of like a workout routine. You get in, man, when you first start work, any type of exercise, you get that lactic acid. Dear God, never knew what that was until I worked out the pain and stuff, you know. But you can work through that. How many of you know that? You can get to the point where you don't have that kind of pain, right? But it comes by repetition. So Jesus makes this statement that we just read. He said, you know, the spirit, your spirit is willing to pray, but your flesh just caved in, got weak. Now, all of us here have been to that place. We all have. Where your spirit knew what to do, but your body was like, I don't feel like doing that. Nah. I don't feel like walking in love today. I feel like ripping their heads off. Yeah, that's... And we'll see this from Galatians today, because Paul said we're in a war, that the spirit wars against the body and the body against the soul and so forth. And there's this tug of war going on, you know. But it's a winnable war. It's not, you know, an impending doom like you'll never win. Your body will always have dominion over you. No, nope. Because if you're born again, you've got the greater one on the inside of you, and your spirit can rise up and get stronger and bigger. Let me give you an example. This will just show that if you've grown in the Lord, that remember things maybe even a year or two ago or 2 years ago that used to really upset you? But now that you've grown in the things of God a little bit, that same issue, when it arises and it heads come up, you're dealing with it in a little different way. Amen. The situation hasn't changed, but your growth has changed. Your spirit man has strengthened, and now you're able to deal with that thing without freaking out. Does that make sense? Because your spirit man is starting to get strength, get muscles, hallelujah. So that when that same temptation or accusation or something comes against you and someone hurts you, you know, your natural flesh wants to retaliate, you know. But your spirit says, no, just pray for them, forgive them, and move on. I'm not going to let that hold me back. You ever stop to think about it? Unforgiveness is not, it's not hurting that person. It's hurting you. It's hurting. You know what I'm saying? It's really stupid to hold unforgiveness towards someone when the only thing it's going to hurt is not that other person. It's going to hurt you. It'll hinder you. It'll poison your immune system. You know, bad things can happen that way. But when you walk in the Spirit, you can forgive people supernaturally. Amen. So here he comes back on the third time. He says, man, couldn't you wait for me? Couldn't you pray for at least 1 hour here? Pray. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, let's take a look at this from the Gospel of Luke. Okay, the same account, but it's a little bit different here. Go to Luke chapter 22 in the King James. Now, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have this account. But it says it just a little bit differently. Kind of gives us a clearer picture. It's kind of like climbing a mountain. From the west side compared to the east side, you get a different view, but it's the same mountain. Are you with me? And that's what the Gospels do. It paints a clear picture of what is taking place, what is happening here. Here's the same scenario where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And let's pick up in verse 39. And he came out and he went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he was at the place, that was the place is the garden where he prayed. And he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. As far as you could cast a stone, that's how far he was. And he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. And when he withdrew about a stone's cast, he knelt down, verse 41, and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, that's the prayer of consecration and dedication. Father, I want to do what your will is. Now, we're never told to pray that type of prayer when it comes to physical healing. You don't pray that, Lord, if it's your will, heal me. That's not scriptural. Okay, because we know what God's will and his word says. But when it comes to the prayer of consecration and dedication, we need to be saying, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want. If you want me to go here, go there, move here, or do this, I am willing to do this. Amen? And here's another thing. Never be moved because of a financial situation. Someone says, man, I'm going to take a job, you know, it's moving across the country, but I'm going to make double, triple what I make now. That's no indication that God's in that. So we shouldn't be moved by finances or money and so forth, but we need to be moved by God's wisdom and God's will for whatever we're called to do. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And he says right here, verse 42 says, and Jesus said here, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 43. And there, notice this, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Let's stop for here in verse 43. There appeared an angel from heaven and strengthened him. Now, Hebrews chapter 1 talks about how that are they ministering angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. You know who that is?
Us.
People religiously think, oh yeah, well that's Jesus and angels can come to him anytime he wants. But listen, those angels, they're there for us too. Because we're the body of Christ too. Jesus said on one occasion, don't you know I can call down 12 legions of angels? Now he was talking reference to being delivered from the cross, you know, but that wasn't God's plan. And I always thought about this, Jesus didn't call on those legion of angels so that we could. Amen. Amen. And we can literally, we do it all the time. We pray, Lord, we send angels forth right now. Amen. Now, we know that demons and devils influence people for bad, right? Yeah. We know that. Oh, yeah. And that seems to be the only thing people talk about, demons and evil spirits.
Yeah, it's true.
And they have absolute confidence. Oh, there's a devil after my son, after my daughter, whatever, you know. Well, what about the angels? That's you can ask angels, Lord, I send angels to go minister to so-and-so right now. And you know what?
Yeah.
They'll do it. Because the Bible says they hearken unto the voice of the Word of God. If you give voice to the Word of God, the angels hearken and go. Mm-hmm. They can bring you money if you need money. Amen? Mm-hmm. Angels are real. And every one of you here have a guardian angel. And just because you grew up, you didn't lose it. Amen? Now, I remember I was referring to this at the first part of the service the other morning when I heard those angels saying, God bless America. I would have never thought of that. Are you kidding me? And I woke up hearing that in my ears, like a trumpet's in my ears. Well, one other time that happened to me, I was in a church that Lynn and I met in, actually. It was a very small church back in the day, and they were renting this really small building. I think you could only fit about 90 people in there, you know. And and I remember one, I just started going to this church. And I was just growing. I was 20 years old. And we were in this worship service. We had a worship service. And I mean to tell you, the instruments were out of tune. Twanging guitars. I mean, it just wasn't like music to your ears, per se. I was on the second or third row on these church pews. It used to be an old Baptist church years ago, and they moved and so forth. And the pastor was running this little Baptist church. But I'm telling you, this is in 1981 or 80, something like that. We're in this worship service before the minister came out and preached, you know. And the minister had graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center like I did. You know, we got connected. It was a supernatural thing. But here you got a group of people, probably 60 people in the audience, something like that. You know, maybe a little bit more than that's here today. But that Sunday morning we came, and I no more expected to hear what I heard than it'd be the next astronaut that landed on Mars. And by this time, I've already come through my AG church. I've learned about worship and stuff like that, you know. And so I'm worshiping God. Everybody's worshiping God. At whatever song we were doing is a worship song. It wasn't a praise, a fast praise. It was like worship. We were worshiping God, you know. And we're standing in this little, you know, church. And now in this church, they had a little balcony. I mean, little balcony. They hold three people. And it was up. I mean, you had to get down like this to get up there. It was so low. And that's where they put the sound man. Okay, he had his soundboard up there like Josh is back there, except he was elevated. And I'm up in the front of the church. And as we were worshiping God, now again, there's about 60 people in this room. God is my eternal witness. I no more expected what happened to me, like I said. And all of a sudden, I heard, it sounded to me like a million voices crescendoing. I mean, like, and I, here's what I thought. I thought the sound man is messing around up there. His name was Paul. You know, if you knew Paul, he's kind of a character anyway, you know. And I thought, is he screwing around with the tape machine up there? I'm thinking this. So I turn around, I look up there, kind of mad, you know. But he was up there lifting his hands, touching the ceiling, basically. He wasn't nowhere near the soundboard. And I heard these, now I didn't know it was angels at that point. But I heard these voices. Woo! I mean, it was just, I was like, and it was probably 8 seconds long. 5 seconds long, something like that. And I just kind of shook myself. I thought, what in the world did I just hear? I didn't know. The next Sunday, came to church. Time for the worship service. Immediately, it was like electric in the atmosphere. It was like electric, you know. And all of a sudden, people started coming forward, ladies and men, and they started saying that at this time in the service, last week, I heard, now these are people that have been saved a while. They understood more of what was going on. I wasn't sure. One lady came up there in tears just streaming down her face. She goes, but this time in the service last week, I heard angels singing. And then someone else shot up there, you know. Now at this time, I was so backwards and so shy, I would have never ran up in front of people. I just wouldn't. I was really backwards, really shy, you know, just fear. And I found myself going up there. I was like, something dragged me up there, and I grabbed that microphone and I told the same thing I heard. We heard the angels singing that Sunday morning in that church. Now, I don't know that everybody heard it, but I know I did. Now, I was so new to this, I didn't know what it was. All I know was, what was that? That was beautiful, you know. And let me tell you, when you hear the angels sing, we're going to have times like that where they're going to appear. Amen. In our midst. Amen. It could happen today. Or you'll hear angels. And I'll tell you, it changed my life. Because I had always heard about the heavenly host and all this kind of stuff, you know. But I'm telling you, miracles start happening. Do you know who brings healings a lot of times? You know who it is? It's angels. They deliver body parts. If you need a new body part, a new heart, new lung, new hip, new joints, whatever, God can replace that. Amen. And angels can bring and deliver those things. Are you with me? That's how it works. But Jesus was praying in the garden at his darkest hour, and an angel came and gave him strength. Because there's no way that he could have done that in his own strength. Well, just before going to the cross, what happened? He went to the Roman whipping post and received cat of nine tails 39 times. I mean, most people could not even live through that type of torture or punishment. Now, if you saw The Passion of the Christ years ago, how many saw that movie? As gruesome as that was, it was worse than that. And that was pretty bad. But the scripture tells us that his visions, Isaiah said his visual image was so marred that he didn't even look like a human being. And after that, he carried his cross up to the hill of Golgotha. Nobody in the natural could do that. Nobody could. So an angel was strengthening him at his darkest hour. Okay? Now, of course, none of us here have ever faced that kind of temptation or pressure. Like, none of us have. The Bible says we haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood. The sin. We've not resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. But the Lord knows. He says He's been tempted in all points like as we, yet He didn't sin. Now you have to understand, folks, listen to me, church, very carefully. No matter how much pressure you are under, the Lord knows how to get you out of that. But He knows how to strengthen you during that process. And you can actually do this. You can say, Lord, I need some help. I call upon the holy angels right now to come and to strengthen me in the name of Jesus. Amen? And I'm telling you, angels, I've been divinely protected by angels through my life. There's been two or three times I shouldn't even be here in the natural. Like tragedy, accidents, that type of thing. Where I shouldn't even be here. One time I was on a raft going down Ohio Powell. A one-man raft, first time ever. And I got caught under the rapids at Dimple Rock, where many people have perished. You know, and if you watch the news, you'll see that. Okay? Now, this is my first time doing it. Normally, people get on a 16-man raft. You know, it's just bigger, it's easier, it's safer. But a pastor friend of mine, he said, you know, we're going to do this, and you want to come with us? And I thought, we're going to be in this big, big, happy raft together. You know what I'm saying? All these pastors floating down the river. Well, the pastor that, in fact, he was the pastor I was talking about, that I heard the angels, okay? He organized this. Well, he was experienced doing that. None of us were, you know? And, you know, it's one thing to swim in calm water, but when you're enforcing rapids and stuff like that, I mean powerful water, that's a whole nother ballgame. Well, the night before I was supposed to go to this, the Lord was talking to my wife. This is in 1989. And she said something to me, and she said, Keith, I'm just sensing in my spirit that you're not supposed to go on this raft trip. She goes, I sense danger. Well, my macho image rose up. I'm thinking, I'm a man, I can handle this, you know what I mean? And I'll tell you the truth, I didn't listen to her. This is 1989, you know. And she had a burden of prayer and intercession. She prayed in the Holy Ghost. I mean, Shanda Bakura Mahambra. She prayed, you know. And I still went. But I'll tell you what, I've learned a few things since then. See, I thought she was being over spiritual. Now, don't look at me there. You've done that too, probably, you know. I thought she was. And one thing I know about this woman. What made me fall in love with her is her love for God. You can't trade that for nothing. Okay? Of course, I thought she was gorgeous, but it was more than that. There was something in her that was like, she loved God. And I fell in love with that. See, you don't want to fall in love with somebody that doesn't love God. Okay? Now, if you're already in a situation, that's another story. Okay. There is supernatural help for people that are already in relationships. Okay. I want to qualify that. But to make a long story real short, we got up there, and they give you this laminated map. You know, it's water resistant, you know, and you're supposed to. And when you got, anybody ever been down there before the Ohio? Okay. Well, they give you these maps, and it shows you the different types of rapids and how to get around them. You know, I'm like, yeah, you're going to read this map while you're going through the rapids? Didn't make sense to me. You know? So we made it through a couple of the little ones. I thought, oh, this is nothing. Then we came down to this place called Dimple. They call it Dimple Rock. You know, it's this massive rock. And all the water in that place is forced into that one small area, and there's a double hydraulics, you know? And you have to somehow go around that, okay? I mean, it looks very frightening from the natural. And I was in fear and trembling, you know. And they said, when you go up to that rock, you have to paddle left so you can go down, you know. I guess I didn't do it strong enough, you know, because my raft was long and my legs were stretched out. And the tip of my raft hit that rock, and all of a sudden it went up over my head. I went backwards under the water. And let me tell you something. My life flashed before me. I thought, this is it. I'm thinking, my God, I just got married a couple of years ago. I mean, I'm leaving. All these thoughts are going through my mind. I literally thought I was dying. Because here's what happened. I got under the water. And this is not like a swimming pool. Okay, we're talking strong currents and power. I got under there, and I even had a life jacket on. And I couldn't get up. I was stuck under this water current, okay? I was stuck in water, and time is ticking by. Seconds seem like hours almost, you know what I mean? And I'm almost out of breath. But all of a sudden, something grabbed me and pulled me up. Wow. I went boom, and I popped up, and I came out, and I was at the bottom of the rapids, you know? And then the pastor that saw me there, he had a big rope, and he threw it out to me. He said, you look like you saw a ghost, man. I was white as anything, you know? I said, yeah, if you went through what I went through, you would have too, you know? But my pastor threw me a rope. Amen. Amen. I'm throwing you a rope today. Amen. Glory to God. And he pulled me in, and I thought, well, there's still about, I was only about halfway through the rapids. So you know what I did? I said, I took that raft, put it on my back, and I walked down the rest of the way. I'm walking on big rocks and stuff. And people said, hey, there's poisonous snakes. I don't care. I'm walking. I can run from a snake at least, you know. But point I'm trying to make is this, is that sometimes we can be so headstrong that we're not heart sensitive. And all of us can get to that place where we're headstrong instead of heart sensitive. A couple of months after that incident happened, I was sitting one time, and I had just gotten tires on my little red Chevette that I had. You know, they used to make Chevy Chevettes, you know, this little car. It's like Fred Flintstone's car, you know. And I had just bought new tires for my car, and I'm on my way home, middle of the day, and I was at this intersection where I live in Bethel Park, and this is a blind intersection, okay? So I'm the first one in line, and the light is red. I'm wanting to make a left-hand turn, all right? And you can't see up around the left. There's like a hill, this street that comes down. And so there's people behind me, and the light turned green. But something in me, just as passing thought, said, just wait. Just hold it. Just wait. So I just hesitate for just maybe 2 seconds. People start getting impatient behind you. They start beeping their horns. You know, come on, let's go. The light's green. Well, I'm not moved by that. And as soon as I hesitated, a car coming down the hill where I was making a left, okay, he was going about 45, 50 miles an hour, and he flew through the red light, okay? Now, I didn't see him if I wouldn't have hesitated. If I would have went as soon as the light was green, that vehicle would have plowed, T-boned me, would have plowed into me. Two things could have happened. He could have killed me, or I could have been seriously injured because of the speed that he was going. But here's the thing. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God, in Romans chapter 8. In other words, if you're a child of God, you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. And the primary way that God leads all of His children is by the inward witness. That is the most powerful, predominant way that God leads all of His children. Not through a vision per se, that's the exception, not the norm, but through the inward witness. Amen? Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirits that we're the children of God. Now, you don't know you're a child of God because someone prophesied over you. You don't know you're a child of God because an angel appeared to you and said, you are a child of God now. The primary way that you know you're a child of God is the inward witness, that velvety-like feeling. Like, how many know what I'm talking about? You know you're saved. They couldn't beat it at you with a baseball bat. You know you're a child of God. You haven't seen Jesus. You haven't seen angels. But you know in your heart, I'm right with God. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that's the inward witness. And it's that same witness that will bear witness with you when it comes to making choices and decisions in life. Because when you don't listen to that inward witness, then you can step into uncharted territory that may be not good for you. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job, whether it's any number of things. Because we all come to a crossroads. We have to make a choice. We have to make a decision. And so often we can become so mind conscious and soul conscious and be led by what we see and what we hear that we're not listening to hear. Amen? Now sometimes when you go through something and your mind says, boy, I don't know how this is going to work out. But your spirit says it's going to be all right. Now I've been there more times than I could shake a stick at. Where I was like, oh God, how are we going to get out of this situation? Man, this is tough. But yet in my spirit, I knew the Lord's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. And it's that quiet, calm confidence that the Lord wants us all to have. That in the midst of what's of all hell breaking loose around us, that hell doesn't have to get inside our hearts. I'm telling you, bless. Anybody have ears to hear today what the Lord's saying to us? Amen. And to be heart sensitive. I lost my computer page here. Where are we here? And so, I don't even know how I got off on that, but we did anyway. Amen. But why is it so important for us to be led by the Spirit of God? Because if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. And I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ is just as committed. The Holy Ghost is just as committed to teaching you all things as Jesus was committed to going to that cross. I mean to tell you, the Holy Ghost takes his job very serious. He's extremely serious in the sense that he's there to do a job and to help you. He's there. And I tell you, he's not like, oh, I got to help them be led today. No. He's like, come on. I want to guide you. I want to lead you. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so in this situation here, we see in the garden, Jesus was just telling them, he says, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now we were just reading that, weren't we, in Luke? Okay, there it goes again. Praise the Lord. Let me just read this. New bulb this week. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. Amen. We were talking about, okay, in verse 43, we were talking about an angel from heaven came and strengthened him. That's where we got off. Now, in verse 44, if you have your Bibles, just read with me. Verse 44, or if you don't, just follow me. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly in his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Verse 45, and he rose up from prayer, and he came to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray that you enter not into temptation. Okay, now, this is telling us in verse 46 that if we pray when temptation comes. See, listen very carefully. Some of you are tempted to become so discouraged. That's a temptation. You can pass that test. If your spirit man is strong, you might have had bad news given to you. You can pass that test. Amen? And he said, let's see here, where are we here? Okay, yeah. Verse 46, he said, why sleep ye? Rise and pray that you enter not into temptation. And verse 47, while he yet spake, behold, a multitude that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Now, this wasn't the type of kiss like, man, it's so good to see you. He said, this will be the sign of betrayal, the Judas kiss. Now, we're turning him over. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? See, he knew that. And when they were about him, saw what was would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? Now they just woke up. Here's Judas and a band of people with weapons and staves and swords and weaponry. And they woke up. You know, you came out right out of a sleep. They're like, Lord, should we smite them? You know, you ever want to smite somebody? Shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now, if you read the Gospel of John, his name is Malchus. M-A-L-C-H-U-S. Malchus. Everybody say Malchus. Malchus. It says, now in John it says it was Peter. Peter had a sword. He pulled that thing out, you know. Probably thought he was like a Jedi or something, you know. He pulls out that sword and he goes. Now, folks, he's not going for the dude's ear. He's going to pull a David on Goliath, cut his head off. You know? Now, Jesus just got done telling him, if you pray, you won't enter into temptation. Peter says, I don't give a rip. I'm going to take his head off. Now, look at what happened here. This is absolutely amazing. He said, and one of them, that's Peter, smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Ouch. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Huh? What? Now, first of all, here's a couple things going on here. Peter reacts in the flesh, thinking he's doing the right thing. I'm going to protect him, man. I'm going to cut his head off. You know, well, he must have ducked and got his right ear cut, his just plumb off. You know what I'm saying? Can only hear half as much. And I mean, blood is flowing down, you know. Here is Jesus' enemies coming to take him away, to crucify him. And what does Jesus do? He heals the dude's ear, his enemy. Here's the servant of the high priest. I mean, this is somebody that has some authority here. You know what I mean? This is like the vice president. Okay? Now, Peter made a choice. It was the wrong choice. And I thank God for the mercy of God, because even when you miss it, even when you make mistakes, the Lord will cover for you. Amen. In His mercy, even though you miss it, thank you, Father. Let me tell you something, the Lord will cover for you.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm telling you, the Lord is, He's not about to give up on you. He doesn't give up on you. He will stick with you until you make it. If you fail 1,000 times, He'll be there on the 1,001.
Yes,
that's how committed God is to us.
Jesus. That's good.
Now, this guy named Malchus lost an ear. Could have lost his head. Jesus knows what's going on here. They're coming to take him away to crucify him. But Jesus prayed. Jesus was in the Spirit. And the Father said to him, touch him and heal his ear right now. Because Jesus didn't do anything apart from the Father. He said, what I see my Father do, that's what I'm going to do. Oh, this excites me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. He reaches over and all of a sudden there's a brand new ear on the guy's head. A recreative miracle. I wonder what was going through that man's mind. Well, there's a lot going on here, isn't there? And believers have a hard time thinking that God wants to heal you? Are you kidding me? Here's an enemy of the cross, enemy of Jesus, coming to crucify him, and Jesus heals his enemies. Wow. I don't know, but when I read that, I'm like, if Jesus can heal an enemy, my God, I'm his child. Healing belongs to the children. Amen.
Amen.
How much more should we have faith and confidence that God will touch us and heal us who are not enemies of the cross? Isn't that powerful? Now, we got to read one more scripture. We're going to close real quick. Real quick. To Galatians chapter 5. We'll have to pick this up next week. But let me just take 3 more minutes here and I will close. Now, your body is to be in subjection. And I know I'm going to have to share this more on this next week. Peter's body did something when he wasn't praying. You see, folks, listen to me really carefully. When you don't sow adequate time in prayer or in the Word of God, you will always succumb to the flesh. You will always do what's easiest for the flesh to do. Always. And that's all of us. That's every one of us in this room. And it's something that Paul said, every day I crucify my flesh. I crucify my flesh. Amen. I put my body under, he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. I put my body under. I bring it, body, under subjection, lest by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be disapproved or cast away. Okay? Your body's pulling in one direction. Your spirit's pulling in another direction. Your soul says, which way are you going to go? Your soul makes that choice. I'm going to go with the Spirit. I'm going to go with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go with the Word of God because I know how it's going to turn out. Amen. But you know, in Galatians 5, verse 16, we'll close here. It says, "This I say then," Paul said, writing to the church, "walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the desires of the flesh. For the flesh warreth against the Spirit," that's your human spirit, "and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Holy Spirit inside your spirit, you are not under the law." Now he goes on to list the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, you know, hatred, seditions, heresies, all these wicked things that the flesh produces, you know. And then he goes on to say in verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections of the lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another." So you can see here in this chapter 5 here, you've got a list of, you've got 9 fruits of the Spirit. Okay. And then you have the works of the flesh. Okay. You know what's kind of interesting about this is that when you get born again, now in Galatians chapter 5, it lists the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, so forth and so on, right? And there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. When you are born again, those 9 fruits are now on the inside of you, in your spirit. Now, of course, they can be developed and cultivated. That's part of our growth, right? Amen. I mean, a year from now, we should be able to say, "I'm stronger in love than I was a year than today," right? A year from now, we should be able to say, if we're walking with God, we could say, "I'm more patient than I was a year ago," because that's all part of the fruit of the Spirit. At the new birth, the doorway is open for those 9 fruits of the Spirit to come and dwell on the inside of you. Now, here's the thing: here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you have the 9 gifts of the Spirit or manifestations of the Spirit that are for people that are baptized in the Holy Ghost. That opens the doorway to the 9 gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of, you know, discerning of spirits. Amen. The power gifts, the revelation gifts, the utterance gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Okay. That's for the church. Amen. And, when you're born again, those 9 fruits, that doorway is open for the 9 fruits to manifest in your life. At the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you speak with other tongues, that opens up the doorway for the 9 manifestations of the Holy Ghost to now operate as the Spirit wills in your life. Now, here's the thing. You cannot control the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all those different things in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You don't have control over that. It says the Spirit wills. But you do have control over the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Amen? Now in 1 Corinthians 13, you see Paul saying, he said, "Look, if I have all the faith to remove mountains," that's the gift of special faith, that's not ordinary faith, "and I have not love," that's the fruit of the Spirit, "it profits nothing." You see, the fruit of the Spirit, the 9 fruits of the Spirit, and the 9 gifts of the Spirit are supposed to flow together. Amen? That's why when we focus on character and love and forgiveness and fruit, amen, it's easier for God to entrust us to flow in the manifestations of the Holy Ghost, however He wants. Isn't that one? Does that make sense? Okay? And that's why the Bible says eagerly, earnestly, desire, and pursue, first of all, love. Amen? Because when you pursue love, then you're in a divine position where God can trust you. See, if you're not a lover, how can God trust you with other people? If you're only going to hurt them. Right? But if you love people and you care for them, I'm not saying you're perfect because none of us are in the flesh. But if you love people, He can trust you with people because you're not going to hurt them. You're not going to beat them over the head and hurt them. Amen? And all of us can have that kind of heart. Amen? A heart to help people. The kind of heart that Jesus had. I feel Jesus today. Amen? I feel His heart today. I know you do too. Because He's in you. Amen. If you could see even the near future of what God has for you, it would just boggle your human mind. Because I tell you, the plans that God has for you and the things that He has for you are so much better than what you're facing right now. All of us. His thoughts, His plans are so much higher and greater than we even know. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, Kenneth, you know, it was funny. It was yesterday morning, he was talking in healing school in Washington, you know, and he was talking about, I thought it was kind of interesting. I never heard him say this, but he was talking about your attention. He said, it's amazing. You know, he said, God can be up here and it's, see, God doesn't always just move spectacularly, but He does move supernaturally. And when the preacher or someone is saying something under inspiration of God, that's not necessarily spectacular, like stars and fireworks going off, but it is supernatural. And I can't tell you how many times this past week he came over and stood this far from us, especially Josh. He'd go stand right in front of Josh. I mean, just, you know. One time he sat on Josh's lap. I'm not kidding you. A couple years ago, I'll explain. He was talking about how the baptism of the Holy Spirit came on them and it sat upon them in the book of Acts. And here's Josh on the end of the row like this, you know. And Brother Cumberland comes over and he sat down in his lap on national television. Sat on his lap. He had a red face that day, amen. Didn't expect that. But here's the point I want to make is this, is he'll come over and he'll say, he doesn't even know he's doing it, but he's just led by the Holy Spirit. He'll come over and stand right there and he'll say something that's exactly what we need at that moment. Amen. A question that we have or something that we're dealing with. And I'm like, he has no idea what he just said, but the Holy Ghost just spoke through him and said exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank you. Can you share?
Amen.
Yeah. Hagin had a word for Kenneth, but he had just inquired. I'm telling the story.
Yeah, I'll do that. Well, anyway, let me share this first. He was talking about your attention being diverted. You know, he said the Lord will start to move, and then you're in this congregation, and we've been there for a while, and there's people. He said all of a sudden you'll get this thought like, I wonder why they wear that blue suit. I wonder why they wear that color tie. And all of a sudden, their attention is just diverted for a little bit, and they're like, and they just missed something the Holy Ghost wanted to say. And I thought, I've done that. You know, steal or game, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, you know what I'm saying. Who gives a rip? Amen. That's in comparison to life, that doesn't mean nothing. Amen. But he was just saying, we need to develop the powers of concentration. Because if you're in a meeting for an hour or an hour and a half, you know, that could be the most important part of your life. The answers that you need can come right there, like today in this service. Your answers are here right now that you need. Supernatural answers. But if we get diverted and our attention gets sidetracked and we're thinking about what we have to deal with after the service or during the week, then we can really miss out on what God's trying to help us and strengthen us. So if the enemy can just keep us out, his first goal is to keep us out of the Word. But if we're, even if we're in the church service and he can distract us, then we can still miss what he's trying to say to us. Amen? So anyway, I'll close with this. What Lynn was saying, what Kenneth was saying, was that he made a choice to cut off the news. And to be, he said, there used to be a time where it's full, total saturation in the Word of God, just night and day, just hearing the tapes, hearing teaching, building up his spirit man. And when he was doing that, things were supernaturally taking place. So he said that he was in a service, he said 18 years ago, and Brother Hagin, when he was alive, came over and said a word to him. And at the time, he didn't totally understand it. You know what I mean? Didn't make a whole lot of sense to him, so he just kind of said, okay, I'll receive that. But he was going back and didn't even realize he'd listened to some of these old tapes, you know, and he was listening, and he heard this word from Brother Hagin 18 years ago, and it was exactly what he needed for now. This just happened. And here the Lord was talking to him 18 years ago, but then the season came where he understood the time is now. This is what this word was for. Isn't that cool? Praise God. Let's all stand up. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. You know, I believe it's overflow time. It's overflow time for the body of Christ. Overflow time for all of us. And I thank you, Father, right now, that we're not just going to be partially filled, half filled. We're, Lord, we want to, as your word says, hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so shall we be filled. And Lord, it's when we stay full of you and full of your word and prayed up and even just taking a few minutes every day and just praying and seeking you can make the difference. And I thank you, Lord, that you're just looking for any doorway for us to open up. And let me just say this. The Lord isn't necessarily saying right now to everybody in this room, you need to take an hour and a half or whatever to pray right now. But if you start out where you're at and you just take 5 minutes in the morning, you can be on your way to work or driving or something or whatever. And as you start to pray, seek the Lord, inquire of the Lord, ask the Lord, you've already opened the door to your life for him to move in more. And I'll tell you, as the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you start tasting God's goodness and how good he is and when the sweetness of his presence, when you're in his presence, you'll be like, I need more time to do this. I love this. I desire this. That's how it works. It's not a duty. It's not a drudge. It's a delight. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and thank him this morning. Amen. Some of you have been through a pretty rough season lately, and I'm telling you, there's a time of refreshing for you right now. You've been through a rough season right now, but I'm telling you right now, there's refreshing there for you. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, to breathe on every person here today, Lord. The fresh wind of your Spirit, Lord. To bring refreshing and encouragement right now. I speak encouragement over you right now. We break the power of discouragement right now. We break its power in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost encouragement right now. Speak unto us now, Father. Speak to us. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Oh, yeah, I see that. Thank you, Lord. There's someone here, you've been having some family tension. That's what came. I just heard that word. Oh, family tension. And the Lord just wants you to know, because you came today and you honored God, he's going to take care of that. Hallelujah. Some type of family tension. Hallelujah. It's just been rough. It's been rough lately. But the Holy Ghost is letting you know right now through the Lord, the head of the church, Jesus Christ, has said, you honored me today. Now I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. So whomever that is, you just accept that, receive it. It's yours right now. You can take it to the bank. The Lord's going to take care of you. Praise the Lord. All right, I'll do that too, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's been somebody here that's, this not might be more than one person, but you've had some dealing with sinus pressure. Sinus pressure. And it's pretty uncomfortable because it's painful. The Lord is healing that right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Someone's right ear is being healed right now. That inward part of your, that inward ear is being healed right now. You open in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. One other thing. Someone else here has been, as of late, you've been really thinking about what does the future hold? Where is my future going? I don't know the next step. I'm not sure what lies ahead. And so it's created an anxiousness inside of you. But the Lord is just letting you know today that I'm not just the God of the past, I'm the God of the future. And if you walk with me and you stay hooked with me and close to me, I'll reveal the future to you. And the future will be much brighter and much greater than the past ever could. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for doing that right now, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, there's nothing like the Holy Spirit moving. Amen. This is wonderful, 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 wonderful. Let's just take a moment. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.